Welcome back to Barely Serious. You're about to listen to episode 225, but before the podcast, you know that I got to plug some shows. Actually, just one show this time, because this show is really important to me. Orange County. I will be back headlining one night only on Leap Day, February 29th, 2024. That's in 2 weeks. Coming out. Tickets are on Eventbrite. You can just type in Galen Nash, and it's at La Cave in Costa Mesa. You can use promo code Galen to get some money off your tickets. Let's sell that one out. It's going to be a hell of a time. Anyway, with this out of the way, make sure you rate, subscribe, all that crap. Give us 5 stars and enjoy this week's episode. Welcome back to Barely Serious. You're about to listen to, just kidding, I already did that. You are currently listening to episode 225, the recap episode from Harrisburg, because we are now in downtown Austin, Texas right now in my new apartment.
Yes, sir.
What do you think of the new digs?
Great. Not a very nice apartment. You're not a nice guy, so you don't deserve nice things happening to you, but this is a very nice thing that happened to you. I'm very jealous. This is a fire-ass place.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm stoked. I can't, dude. I'm like, I wonder who like the lucky lady is going to be the first one to get like just plowed out in here.
The lucky lady to get plowed out in here. That's a sentence. That's a funny quote. I hope it's just some like sleazebag who listens to this and is like, I want to be that woman.
I want to be first.
I want to get plowed out by Galen Nash. My 2020 vision board, 2024 vision board says that.
Dude, yeah, because, well, right now, don't mention where it is, because like
I know that's why I didn't say the hilarious feature of it that I'm not mentioning,
which is kind of a perk.
Yeah, it's actually it is.
Got our own parking lot.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna bother us.
Yeah, just
no
sucks
neighbors.
That you're on top of the homeless shelter, you know.
Yeah, but it's like cool because like right now there's the second bedroom is just empty, so it's like, dude, I could plow out some chick. Like, dude, my closet, I could just walk into the closet and just. I could fuck in there.
I mean, I'm sure you will. Now that you've thought of it, you're a guy. You're a man of action. You're gonna do it in there.
The closet.
So wait, does it have? You have 3 bedrooms or 2 bedrooms?
Just two. But
just
two. The closet. You could put a rollaway in there.
Yeah, make it your smush room, like
what?
From Jersey Shore. Did you ever watch Jersey Shore growing up?
No.
They had like just a dedicated room that they'd put like one bed in, and it was known as like the smush room. And it got so famous by the end of the show, like girls would be like, "Take me into your smush room." You know, it's just like a straight clout plow room. And everyone would use it, which is pretty gross.
I think my next move, now that I have this dope-ass pad, well, first of all, we got to come up with a name for it. Because before, you know, it was the Mexican Project House. And then what was the apartment we lived in? It was like the Rape Dungeon.
The Rape Dungeon?
Isn't that what we were calling it?
I don't know. We should call it like the Wasp Hut or something, since there's still the wasp on the door. That we smashed. I'm sure we've talked about it on here, but yeah, for anyone listening, it's still taped up on that.
That's
door.
Actually impressive. Does it look like?
Yeah, it looks like a wasp, but it's like so kind of blended in with the door now that you don't notice it. But every once in a while, you like walk up to the door and you kind of just look at the front door and you're like, "There's a wasp on our front door."
Well, because didn't the wasp get into the apartment and then I killed it and we taped it as a warning?
Yeah, because we had the wasp nest on the porch and we were just like, we don't need to call maintenance. We could just hit it with a broom. And we did that. And then somehow it actually got inside. And I just took off. I was like, I'm going in the room. It's the wasp's house now. It's gone. And then I think you just like hit the fuck out of it with the broom and killed it. And then we like smashed it, taped it to the front door as a warning to all the other wasps. No, because it was at the end of our hallway. It wasn't on the porch. Remember, we hit it and we ran down the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how we put it on the front door, because we were like, they're going to be in that hallway. Let them know.
That's so funny. Well, we just got back from Harrisburg.
Yep.
And I'm sure the people are dying to know how it went.
Shithole.
What the fuck?
Shithole town. Great club.
Great club. I liked the town.
It was cute. It was just like, I felt like everyone there should just like make steel. You know, like we're gonna factory,
dude. The early show on Saturday had some babes.
Yeah, you were fiending
babes, and that, of course, that's the one show that I like almost had a panic attack in the middle of my set.
You're just afraid of pussy. That's what it is. There's too much in the room. You're like, oh god, which one, and you just get panicked over the choice.
Well, it turns out what it actually was is me. I was literally getting sick. My arms were vibrating because I was literally about to like they were tingling because like I was about to throw up and my body was rejecting the fucking food that I just eaten. But in my head, I was like, oh, I'm having a heart attack. But
yeah.
Really, it was just my body preparing. I think it was literally because normally I'll just throw up. I think my body was like, yo, we have a mission to do right now. He's 30 minutes into his set. He needs to finish this out.
Yeah.
Because then the second I got off stage, I was like, I feel like shit right now.
Yeah. 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 You kind of have that adrenaline going on stage too. Mm-hmm. So you're good. But yeah, you, what do you think? Did it the spaghetti at the hotel?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, that meat sauce was probably just been sitting in the fridge.
Yeah. It probably got old. Because otherwise, it was like we ate McDonald's mad early in the morning.
Yeah.
And you would have gotten like sick, like, because like to like food poisoning, I think it hits you pretty quick. You know, especially if you're just going to vomit like that.
I don't think it was food poisoning. I think it was just my body being like, yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, you should have learned your lesson when you had fucking airport spaghetti at 8 in the morning and survived that.
But we were in Chicago.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You like you flirted with death. And it was like, all right, you got fucking airport spaghetti at 8 in the morning and lived. Don't do that. Don't do some dumb shit again. And then you got more spaghetti. And it was like, all right. You
got to fucking
pay. Yeah, you got bar spaghetti, man. Go to a goddamn Italian restaurant.
Yeah, I guess. I think that's what it was. Because then, well, the best part was I was in the bathroom just like during your set. Like mm-hmm. I missed. Well, what was really funny about it is I was like, okay, man, my arms, like I'm freaking out right now. I was like, but it wasn't like panic. It was literally just like I couldn't focus. Like, that's what it was. Like I just couldn't focus. And I was like, what the fuck? And so I was like, I need to recalibrate. And so I went to my room and I jacked off like 8 minutes into your set. And so because I was like, you're doing 30. I was like, all right, cool. I have plenty of time to like just go beat off. And another thing is like usually like if I can't focus, I'll go take like a shit, but I clogged my toilet.
Yep.
The first 30 minutes.
Did you ever get that fixed?
No.
You're an idiot.
No, and here's what's weird about it is I had a fucking dream. I was so drunk Friday night when we got back. I was so fucked up that I had a dream that somehow I flushed the toilet and then it like just went like it flushed. But then I woke up the next morning and went to go take a shit, and I lifted up the thing, and it was still clogged. Like, all the stuff was still in it. And I was like, yo, I had a dream about my toilet getting unclogged. How weird is that?
Yeah, that's super weird. When you told me, I was like, that's weird. And then I was like, damn, now he has to take a shit in my room. That was how you presented it to me. And I was like, put the lobbies right there. Go take a shit.
Dude,
in the
I don't
lobby.
Want to shit in the lobby. Yeah. Plus, it was so early that the doors weren't even open.
Yeah, yeah, the whole, because it was all attached to one room. It was great. The shows were fucking great.
The shows were fire. The crowds were fire. The worst crowd was the late show on Saturday.
Yeah, they were just.
And they were still fine. Yeah, they were still fine.
Yeah.
But there were times where, like, the first two shows loved the gang rape joke. Yeah. The new gang rape joke. The third show, they just kind of, like, sat there just like, I see what you did with that, but no.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Well, I respect that. I respect that. But just want you guys to know that the first two shows loved it. So I'm judging you guys, not the other way around.
Yeah, I think the first two shows were just like super hot crowds where it was just like as soon as you showed them like, hey, I'm funny. They were like, yeah, give us more.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was just like not as good of a crowd because it was like we're doing essentially the same sets, a few jokes in a different spot or a different joke or two, but relatively the same set, and it's not working to two after it has to two crowds. You're just kind of like, all right, fuck, it's gonna be one of those nights where I gotta earn it. You know?
Well, it was funny because after the first two shows were like flawless, and then that third crowd I was like started to work for it, and then I almost there was a point where I was like 15 minutes and I was like, I really don't give a fuck about this one now because I already got the other two.
Yeah.
If it was the other way around, if like it was that was the first show, I'd be like, all right, let's work. Let's dig deep. Like, let's make this work. And then I just stopped giving a shit.
Yeah.
And I started throwing in jokes like that I'd hadn't done the first two shows because I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to work on this. Who cares now? I don't care about this anymore.
Yeah.
And then they like came around. They're like, all right, we fuck with it. I think they just realized that I just didn't give a shit. When I started crowd working the hotbox section and just started like insulting them,
yeah.
I think they realized they were like, oh, this guy doesn't care.
Yeah, you had some, like, hot moments, too. I think it just was, like, they're, like, I mean, that was the same thing that happened with mine. Like, because we had a great host that weekend, but then, like, he
shout out Sean Dickensheets.
Yeah, well, great name, Sean Dickensheets.
I did like what you did with it was very funny what you did. The first show, you made, like, a joke about his last name, but I just don't think you watched his set, and it was something very similar to something he said. And then the next shows, you totally just, like, changed it up. And it was way funnier. You said something about like
I said because they have the gas station. Yeah. So I was like, when he told me his last name, I was like, damn, you guys really love your fucking gas stations. And then they, of course, were like, local reference. And then I was like, I'm going to change my name to Dick and Wawa, which is like the competitor. And they were like, he fucking gets us, bro. This guy gets us. So that was how the third show, I did the same thing for the third show. And it was like big pop off the start. I'm like, oh, I got these guys back. It's going to be a third fuck. We're going to go clean sweep through Harrisburg.
Clean sweep.
And then like probably like 12 minutes into my set, I don't remember what I said, but I kind of got into it with like a heckler. And the heckler was just one of those ones that was just like then shut down and wasn't doing anything and wouldn't say anything. So then I just look like I'm like shitting on a person or just talking to a person who's just like, oh, I fucked up, oh. And for a minute, I had the same thing where I was like, you know, obviously I can't just not give a fuck because like I'm supposed to set the room up for you. But I had a moment where I was like, ooh, Galen's going to be pissed because I fucked this room up. Like,
well, the best part is I missed it. I missed your whole set. Yeah. Did you know that I wasn't there? Like, were you able to see me?
So here's the thing. So I'm like not doing well for a second. I end up ending on like a big crush. Like my closer goes great. Like
I saw that.
Yeah, that goes great. And like the joke or two before it did well too. But like the whole weekend I was just setting my phone on the thing with a timer on, like audio recording. So I could just look down and know where I was in my set.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, I'm at 28 minutes and I'm positive I haven't got the light because for the last 5 minutes, I was like, where is the light? You know?
Well, here's what's fucking hilarious about that. A little behind the scenes that I don't think you know about is when I was like, I don't think we talked about it. I started throwing up. Like, yes. So I jacked off, came back. Still felt like shit, and I was like, that's weird, because usually jerking off is like a nice little... It's like
too much cum in my tummy.
Well, no, just jerking off kind of just recalibrates the system.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So that's what I'm putting on your tombstone when you die, by the way. Galen Nash, cumming reset. Jerking off resets your...
It recalibrates. It really does. You've never been like sick and jacked off, and then all of a sudden you can breathe out of your nose now because you were holding your breath for so long jacking off?
There's so many things in that sentence that I've never done in my life. I don't know. I don't know how to react to that.
That's why you're sick all the time.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, I think I know what you mean. I have jerked off when I'm sick and then I can suddenly breathe, but that's because it has to do with like, you know, it's that dumb thing where you're like, "Oh, my neck's sore." And they're like, "Well, actually, it's your hip that's tight," and you're like, "What?" And it's like all connected or some bullshit. There's like some connection where it does that, because I know what you mean. Because sometimes when I got a mad clogged nose, I'm like, I gotta come to fix this because I can't breathe. But it's not because I was holding my breath so hard. not Michael Phelps or anything, just training for the Olympics.
Well, I just assumed that that's what it was.
So anyway, back to inside tips and trade.
So I beat off from minute 8 of your set to like minute 13.
Yeah.
And then I come back and I still feel like trash. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden my mouth starts salivating and I was like, oh, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And so I ran to the bathroom in the lobby and I'm just blowing chunks, bro. Like whole pieces of spaghetti are coming out.
Thrown up feels horrible. You're not one of those weirdos that likes throwing up, right?
I throw up so much, though, that like I don't like it. I just don't.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I'm able to just get like, it's literally when I was in at the Comedy Zone in Fort Walton Beach, I took a shot with some chick after the show, the chick that I hooked up with.
Yeah.
And she was just some chick from the show at this point. So we just started talking. She's like, let's take a shot. And I knew I was going to throw up if I took a shot. But I was like, also, I can't just say that to this beautiful woman that I'm trying to fuck, who also thinks I'm cool because she just paid money to see me.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, sure. So we do a shot immediately. I just feel my mouth start salivating. Mm. And I was like, oh, hold on. I got to go grab something from the green room real quick. And I just went to the green room and just started blowing chunks. But luckily, I didn't really eat that much. So like, I just started.
You didn't brush your teeth or anything after, huh? You just went back out there with throw up.
What would I brush my teeth with?
Oh, no. You might have your bag. Sometimes in the green room, they have like fucking gum or Listerine. That is the Fort Walton green room is fantastic. It's such a sick ass green room.
It's the best green room I've ever been in. It's literally two stories.
It's so sick, yeah.
Two stories, like five couches.
The one time we did just have like another old man in there with us.
He was there again this time.
Oh, no way.
Bro, that's awesome. He was watching. Dude, he was watching.
Is it old baseball games?
No, he was watching. Bro, it was whoever was fighting. It was like the WWE match. And so it was like a 70, 80-year-old man in there just watching WWE. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he just like disappeared. And I was like, yo, I don't know if this guy's real.
He's just the ghost. We're just seeing him. Yeah,
the original owner.
So, sorry, back. We got to
finish. I blew chunks in the toilet. At the 411 and they came back out and then closed the deal. So I'm able to just throw up and just like get back to business, which I knew this is what was going to happen for this show. The second I started throwing up, I was like, oh, that's why I was like, I couldn't focus on shit.
You're almost relieved too. You're like, I'm going to feel better in a few minutes. Like, amazing, but way better than I did feel.
So I'm blowing chunks in the bathroom, like whole pieces of spaghetti, and I go back in. I have a timer. I set a timer every show for you. And then when I had first gone back there to go and be like, hey, I've been like throwing up, like maybe give him extra time or something. I'm not sure if I got it all yet. And I hadn't. I had to go back and throw up again. I looked at his computer and it still just said 30 on the timer. Like he just didn't even time you. Like he it just said 30. So you're like, man, it feels like I've been up here for a while. You probably were. Like you probably fucking were.
Well, because I had a moment where I was just like, I'm doing the time and like, I'm assuming you're in the room the entire time. So I'm like, he's seen my set. Like, it's starting to go bad. And I know that he knows I have my closer in my back pocket to get out of this. But, like, I'm like, I know he's not just like, he's killing. Give him more time. Because I've also gotten the light at 25 on the shows where I was smashing, you know?
Right.
So I'm like, man, like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, is he not in the room? Like, did something happen? And I'm just like, no, man, like, maybe I missed the light because I was doing so bad. I don't know.
Were you really doing that bad?
I mean, there was a brief second where it was just like, yeah, it was just, I mean, I was straight up like, I set a punchline. It was, you know, like, ha, 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 like the murmur. And I was like, oh, man, this is going bad. But it was like, it was probably like my least strong part of my set. Like, I did the joke about Erica falling. The problem is if they don't like me going into that store, like if they're not like in love with me. So like the joke before, they were kind of like, meh. And then I went into that. And so now they have to listen to like a story and they're kind of like not into me.
You know, so the punchline is kind of just erased.
Yeah. Cause then it's like the story starts and they don't like the start of it. And I'm like, well, fuck, there's still like a minute and a half, 2 minutes of this story. and I'm going to look so weird if I just bail in the middle of this story. So I finish it and I'm like, this is going bad. And I look down and it's like 28:50 and I'm like, I'm going into my closer. I must have gotten the light and like it must be like over. And worst case, I'm like,
did he ever light you?
Dude, so then I start doing my closer and I'm like, okay, I'm like, I'm still not getting the light. And I'm like, here's the thing. If I don't see like Sean moving to the front because I found him, I'm like, that means Galen's not in the room. And I'll just like wait because he knows and he is like chilling and he's not coming up. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go into another joke after this. And then I'm like 2/3 through my closer and the guy starts flashlighting me like I've ran the light. I get like 10 lights from the back of the room and I'm like, oh, shit. And I look down. I'm like, yeah, I'm at 33 minutes. But like that's the first light you've given me. I'm positive. And so then I like wrapped up quickly and got the fuck off stage. And then I found out the whole debacle and I was like, oh, he probably just wasn't lighting me and probably thought I knew that you were in the room. And then was like, hey, get off. He's back or something. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
I don't know, but I'm glad. I think he must have actually listened to me then.
Yeah.
Because I had gone back in there and be like, hey, look, I'm thrown up. Like I might not be able to start my set on time. And then he's like, he like just totally didn't hear me or something and was like, oh yeah, there's this lady here in like a red dress and like they want you to like make fun of her. And it's like, this is what they told me, something about her being like a swim teacher and like a mom or something. And I was like, I don't think you're, and then like, I felt it coming again. I was like, and then I like just turn around and like ran back to the bathroom. I was like, it was just very funny to me. And I was like, hey man, like I'm throwing up. I don't feel like shit. He goes, there's this lady here you should make fun of. I was like, bro, I might not go up there. I don't care about this lady. But yeah, that guy was super cool. Keith, the manager over there, is super cool. And Sven, the owner, was super dope. But yeah, and so then I go back into the bathroom. I'm throwing up. Now it's like minute. You had to be like 27 minutes into your set. Yeah. Like I'm like, oh man, now we're pushing it. And I'm still throwing up. And then, but then I felt it like towards the end. And then there's this guy in there, like this New Yorker dude just pissing. And I'm just in the corner. I didn't even make it to the toilet. I was just throwing up in the trash can, like in the corner of the bathroom and like by the door. So people are like walking in. I'm just in the fucking trash can, like in the door.
Yeah.
And but luckily this guy was like one of the only two people that saw me. And he was like, hey, like, and like, I can't do a New York accent, but he was like, hey, aren't you the guy? And I was like, yeah. Are you here for the show? And he goes, yeah. And I'm just throwing up in the trash can. He goes, I paid to be here, so you better still go up. I was like, I'm trying, man. What do you think I'm doing here? You know? I'm like, to make sure I was done, I was like sticking fingers down my throat and like nothing else was coming up. And so I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm ready. And he was like, you'll be fine, man. You'll be fine. You got this. And I was like, all right, yeah. And then like low-key, I needed to hear it too. It was like my Kobe. I need my Kobe moment. I was like, all right, because then I was like, when I was throwing up, I was like, oh man, I suck. Like, I was like, I can't even have, so I was just like in my head, I wasn't even thinking about my set, and I'm just gonna go up there and fucking like have to go into autopilot to start my set almost because I'm not thinking about what I'm about to say. And then, yeah, and then I go back in the room, and then, yeah, then he gets you off or whatever. And then I go up there, and then, yeah, I just had a really fun set the last – it was just like – there was like one joke in the beginning that didn't really – like it just didn't hit as hard as it had been hitting. And then I was like, I automatically just don't care about you guys anymore. I was like, it's like – it's literally just like – I don't know. It's like having three kids. You know, the first one, it's like the first one has to go good.
Yeah.
The first – you know, and then the middle child is like, oh, my baby. And it's like the third one, it's like, dude, you could go play in traffic. Just
it's like – just get back home. Like, yeah. I know what you mean too. And it was just – we were also like staring down the barrel of like, hey, we have to meet outside the hotel at 4:05 to catch our fucking lift to the airport. So you're like sitting there and you're like tired, and we've had two good shows and you're still excited for this one, but you're like, damn, like we got to be up early tomorrow. I got things to do. I can't like – really get fucked up after these shows like I would want to if we were staying later.
I ended up staying out to like 1 a.m.
yeah.
Well, because what happened was Sean Dick and Sheets, our host, who by the way was, and I even told this to his face, I was like, you're the best host I've ever had, like that I've been assigned.
Yeah, he was great.
Usually it's like an 85-year-old woman, or like, dude, when me and Mike did the Comedy Zone in Fort Walton, and the host just didn't show up. And we were like, we asked them, we were like, hey, did like he say anything? And they're like, no. And we're like, okay, all right, yeah, cool, great. That guy rules, you know?
Yeah, and then Mike has to go from the feature to just the 30-minute cold open.
Yeah.
Which is fucking brutal. Yeah, that sucks.
But Sean was dope, but he wasn't drinking the first night. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, yeah, I haven't drank in like a month. I'm like taking time off or whatever. And I was like, all right. And then it hit me when we were like hanging out. It was me, him, Sven, and then you had to like go take a phone call.
Yeah,
I
had some like personal shit happening. Yeah.
And so like we were just hanging out, and then I realized that Sean was like drinking a beer. And I was like, are you drinking right now? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, shit. And because I was just drinking water. I was like, oh, I've been throwing up. I don't want to just keep drinking beer. Yeah. And plus, I got to be up at 4 a.m. And then I was like, oh, man, I can't just let you drink alone on your first night back. And then I started drinking beer. And then, of course, you know, then you blink and it's 1 in the morning. And I was like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. But we were like playing pool. But, oh, this is what I wanted to say. I'm officially a hot guy. Like, I've been not ugly, but now I'm hot.
What up? Why?
Well, after the show, when you were saying, you know, thanks for coming and like fist bumping everybody, and everybody just like glazing. You were taking apart your camera, but there was people. Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah, I forgot you bombed. I didn't even realize.
By the end they loved me, and the start they liked me. So I think it's one of those sets where people would have been like, yeah, he was great. Like, your headliner, we liked him more. His set was more like concise. But I didn't have a bad set. I just had like a 5-minute chunk where it was like, this is not going like great, but it was going well, and then it went ended on a big pop. So it was like, it was good. And then I got caught talking to one guy, like, because I was like, camera was away almost before anyone had left, and I was gonna join you probably like after the first two small groups walked out, and then some dude kind of cornered me and started talking and asking questions, and
but then these three big girls walk out, and I'm talking to Todd, who's like the bouncer there. I'm talking to Todd, and as I'm, you know, everybody's fist bumping me, and then these three big girls like walk out, and then one of them was like, "My friend thinks you're so hot; she's obsessed with you." And I was like, "What?" And then like I turn and look, and of course she like wasn't.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, "Oh man!" But it still counts. It still counts, you know. Like she still has eyes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, "All right." And so then I started drinking, and then of course those girls like started just like hanging out near where me and Sean were hanging out, and I was like, man, and the girl was just like staring at me, and I was like, man, and then I was like, all right, if I get drunk enough, I could just like let this girl suck my dick or something.
Yeah.
And then like I just didn't. I was like, I couldn't get drunk enough fast enough.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's just not. Plus the main thing that I would have done it if I hadn't already fucking like jacked off an hour before. Like I jerked off during your set. And and so then I was like, oh, I'm satisfied, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't even, I'm like, I'm a sex addict, but like,
I'm flattered you jerked off during my set. I'm used to people doing that every night, but I, you know, I always appreciate my comedy. I'm a hot guy then too. I had that old lady told me, she came up to me after the first show, this like old lady comes up to me and she's like, that was crazy. Which is like, I'm like, I don't know if that's really good or really bad.
That was crazy.
That's very vague. Like, you had a crazy good time, or did I just like ruin your respect for like men from Texas because of how I behaved?
That's so funny.
And she was just like, it was great. She was like, but I had a problem. You said that 65 was old. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm just 26. Everyone's old to me. Like, you know, and she's like, well, I'm 79. And I was like, well, you know, I thought you were 52. Who am I? Just trying to like kind of be nice, diffuse the situation or whatever. And then she just kind of, she laughs and looks like to the side and then looks back and she's like, I don't fuck, but if I did, I'd fuck you. And then hit me with a dap up like this, like a crisp ass here and pulled away. And I was like, what? And then she just walked away and I was like, that was weird. That was cool. That was hilarious.
Was it hot?
No, it was like, It was hilarious.
It was just hilarious.
Where it was like, it happened, and I was like, I cannot believe that happened, and I can't wait to tell people that just happened. That's so ridiculous. And the dap was just what made it, that she kind of hit my hand like that, because I like didn't know what to say when she said it. So I kind of was like, oh, thanks. And then she kind of like met me halfway and did the pull. I was like, oh, shit. If she snapped, I would have been like, all right, well, you know what? Come on, let's go. You deserve
it. Let's go fuck.
Yeah, you earned it. That was cool. That was cool enough.
That's so funny. There was a lot of couples at the middle show, and it was funny because, like, dude, there was like this beautiful girl, like, and her boyfriend, like, in the front row, and bro, she was like crying,
yeah,
like at everything I was saying. I was like, man, I don't know. And there was a bunch of couples. Oh, dude, 4 minutes into my set on the early show on Saturday, that girl, after the AA joke about my mom, she like literally was like, my face hurts, and like it was so loud that everybody heard it. I was like, you just say my face hurts.
I remember that.
And she was like, yeah, and I was like, bro, I still got 56 minutes of this
of
killing.
Yeah, you know, like, well, then I had just been up there too, so she was just fucking exhausted.
She was getting beat up. She was like her face.
Yeah, we beat women up on stage. Yeah, that's what we do.
My face hurts.
Yeah, I like that. That's the same voice that you use when you talk about the lady who got beat up in Oklahoma. She sounds the same way.
Please, I love you.
My face hurts. Yeah. She said the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to tell that story. It was Nebraska.
I got to
tell that story because during the early show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
During the early show, I have like 3 minutes left, and I'm about to like do my closer, and I was like, yo, you know, before we get out of here, make sure you know, tip your bars, your servers. They've been busting their ass. There's, you know, 130 of you guys. There's only two of them. So, you know, make sure you tip them. And then this guy in the front row to the right, who I didn't even, what's weird is he must have like spawned in, because I had a pretty good awareness of the crowd. This is the first I'd even seen this guy.
Yeah.
But he was in the front row, in the corner, the very far right side, like the last two seats in the front row. But still, like, it's not like I was, you know, on that side of the stage, but like I feel like in an hour I would have noticed this fucking guy.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I'm not even looking, I'm looking to the left. This guy's on the right, and he just goes, fuck them. And then I turn and I look, and by the time I even turned and looked, his girlfriend was punching him in the face and hitting him. And I was like, what the fuck? And then, so like, it's funny because I just watched the video because you sent me the tapes. My reaction is just the same as Nebraska. I literally turned and started laughing.
Yeah.
Like howling laughing. Because I was like, it was just like, is this a bit? Are these people planted?
Yeah. What's happening?
I was like, what? And so then, like, when I calmed down from laughing, like 15 seconds later, because I was like, no way. And she's now no longer hitting him, and he's just sitting there like sulking. I was like, what was the problem with your service, sir? And she like put her hand over his mouth, and she was like, nothing. And I was like, let him talk. And so I think what I said, like, let him talk. He can embarrass himself. It's the end of the show. I don't care. And then, because like I don't remember what I was going to say, but it'd be something along the lines of like, I wanted to go like the preachy route.
Yeah.
Of like, bro, come on, dog. like, oh, your rum and Coke didn't get here and fast enough.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here. But yeah, he never got to say another word. But the dynamic was weird because he was like 60 and she was like 30, which is why in the video you could see me go, I'm very confused by this dynamic. And then someone else said like me too, and then she just like sat there and I was like, this isn't worth it. I'm just going to go into my closer.
Yeah.
I just saw that it wasn't going to be worth it pursuing it any further. But then on the late show, I got to talk about it because then when I was like, you know, tip your servers, everybody clapped. And I was like, yeah, that's the right response. On the first show, this fucking guy was like, fuck them. And then the girlfriend started punching him in the face, which I thought was funny. Now, domestic abuse isn't funny, but there was this one time in my personal life, and then I got to tell the story of the lady getting beat up in the lobby and then watching the tapes with the cops, which was probably one of my favorite memories of that tour.
Yeah.
It was just, 'cause then it was like, I didn't even want to talk to the cops in the first place, and then the fucking married chick that I was talking to was like, oh, you're going to like go give a statement, right? And I was like, why? They have cameras. They don't need, what the fuck? There's like, what they need it from me for? They have cameras. And then we got to watch it, and I was like, I'm so glad I came back down.
Yeah. Because I stayed up in the room because we just came from Colorado. So I was like, I got to go take things in the room, and I'm not speaking to the police. So you deal with this.
Bro, Andrew Tarr was so funny. He was like, very funny is they asked him like his name. They asked for his address and his phone number, and he fucking gave it to him. I was like, dude, you're crazy. And so then they asked me for my address, and I was like, you don't need it. They asked me for my number. I was like, you don't need it. And I was like, I'll give you my first name. That's it. Like, I'm not, because like, again, like, I think we've talked about this before, but like, we're in Nebraska, and like Lincoln, Nebraska, but we're like just outside, like in a small town. I was like, bro, for all you know, that this cop that's getting your information is fucking friends with that dude. It's like a small town. It's like, yo, these people know each other. The last thing I need is this guy to have my address be like, this is the dude that snitched, and have some fucking like a brick thrown through my window or some shit in Austin. Like, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's beating up his girlfriend. This guy has no rules.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck would I give? Yeah, fuck you, dude. You don't need my address.
Hmm.
Andrew was like, yeah, I live at 470. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah, I was funny. We, like, my mom was in town recently, and there was like a fire on the side of like the highway. And I like called in, and I was like, hi, there's like a big fire on the side of 71. There needs to be a fire department out there. And she was like, by the like, blah 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 exit. And I was like, yes. She's like, okay, we've gotten several calls, like, we'll get on it. And I was like, okay, cool. And she goes, can I get your name and address? And I was like, no. She's like, what do you mean no? And I was just like, I don't want to give it. And she's like, sir, we're not going to take anything. And I was like, shouldn't you be focusing on other things right now, like the fire? My mom was like, what the fuck is your problem? They're just trying to help people. And I'm like, how does having my name and address help these people at all? Are they going to come give me a fucking Purple Heart later? I don't want it. I called to tell you there's a fire. You don't need my name and address. You're sitting here arguing with me. Why don't you fucking go get the fire department on the phone and get them over there or something?
Yeah.
Or answer other 911 calls about people getting hurt, not where the fuck I live.
Yeah, and so it's like the same thing whenever I have to like call the police to get like a homeless person like escorted off the property if they don't like leave when I tell them to. They'll after they get rid of the guy, and they'll come back in and be like, and I'm like, oh, you know, thanks or whatever. And then they ask for like my ID. I was like, you don't need my fucking ID, bro. I'm the manager here, bro. Like, keep it moving.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need, what do you need my ID for? I can't think of one possible reason that you need my ID.
Yeah, it doesn't make, one time there was someone passed out in front of our apartments, and I like called them, and they were like, how? And I was like, here's this guy laying on the sidewalk. Like, it's like 1 a.m. I'm kind of just like, I don't want to be involved. Like, I don't know how, what if this guy just got like involved in some shit and shot? Like, I don't want to be the one fucking with his body.
Yeah.
I don't know this guy. I'm already doing like a nice enough thing by just calling the, like, I'm making sure he gets attention. And like, they're like, okay, we're going to connect you with like the, you know, ambulance real quick, where they just want to like ask a few questions. I'm like, okay. Yeah. They're like, is he, you know, conscious? I'm like, blah, blah. I don't know. I didn't go up and see it. And they're like, do you think you could go over and give us a reading of his pulse? And I was like, no. And then the guy just goes, really, bro? I was like, what do you mean, really, bro? And I was like, yeah, man, it's not my job. And he goes, you can't go over and take the pulse. I'm like, dog, I'm an idiot. I don't know how to take a pulse. I'm not going over there. I'm not getting involved. I did my job. You guys do yours. And he was just like, oh, all right then. I guess that's what you really can't just go back over there and check on him, take his pulse. And I was like, no. He's like, all right, well, do you want to give us your name? And I was like, no. And then I just hung up.
He thought that after all that, you were going to be like, my name's Brandon.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, dude. I'm not, yeah, no.
So they could put you on some sort of board back at their station. This guy doesn't give CPR. Mr. Calls a lot.
Yeah. It was funny, too, because Erica wanted to know what happened. She just, like, took the dog out and walked by and was like, what's happening? And they were like, oh, it looks like some guy just had, like, too much to drink and passed out. And I was like, oh.
That's so funny.
That makes me more glad with my decision because, like, he's fine. Like, what if I got there and try to take his pulse and this guy wakes up and thinks I'm fucking robbing him and starts fighting me? And now I'm in the now I'm in a fist fight with a guy because this dickhead wants me to take his pulse when he's 2 minutes away. Okay, let's say his pulse is slow. What do you want me to do now? You think I, the stand-up comic who edits videos and worked at Jimmy John's recently, knows how to save a life? I'm not helping this guy. Fuck this guy.
That's so funny because you saying that just reminded me of your fucking Spirit Airlines joke, which then reminded me that we were on a flight recently this week, which then reminded me of that fucking super tiny plane and then
how we
got robbed with our seats, bro. I literally was like, oh, we're in row 3? That's so fire.
Yeah.
And then there's just a wall.
A wall in front of us where, like, you had like you were all right with leg room, but like my knees were against it.
I had to put my legs up because I was, like, losing circulation.
We have no way to bend our legs. At best, Galen could get his legs to, like, maybe a 45-degree angle at best. Like, it was straight up 90 degrees, knees in the wall, nowhere to put it. We get on, too. There's no storage unit in front of us, and they're they get on, and I'm like, is there anywhere to put our bags? And the guy's like, well, no, it's pretty full. And then I was like, okay, and I, like, wasn't going to be rude. And then he just goes, maybe you should have got on the plane earlier.
Who said that?
The fucking flight attendant. That's old guy? I don't know if you heard my cunty comment where, like, because then he goes, should have got on the plane earlier. And I go, we're group 9, buddy. We got on right when we said to. It's not my fault someone took the space above us. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, like, that's when he was like, oh, I can look to, like, get you guys another, like, spot to put your bags.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah. And then the guy across was like, hey, dude, my bag's above your thing, actually. Like, I can move it onto my, like, I can move it or something. I can put it under my seat. And the guy was like, no, it's good. Because I was just like, dude, like, we don't actually have a spot for our bags.
I know.
If I put my bag where my feet are, I can't put my feet on the ground, which I know is like an illegal fire hazard because I get screamed at all the time for having the bag out.
Yeah.
And then that flight, I mean, it was only like an hour and 30-minute flight, but it was AIDS, bro. It was AIDS.
I couldn't even sleep because I was like, oh, man, usually I'll like have my legs stretched out.
Yeah.
Recline a little bit. Dude, actually, on the flight from Harrisburg to Dallas, I was in the middle seat, so I actually used the little recliner thing. It actually makes a big difference for how small of a recline it is.
Dude, I didn't know that this was like a debate that people think it's an asshole move to use the recliner. Suck my whole dick, dude. Why is it a part? Like, that's such a gay, unwritten rule that people follow. You're a fucking child. And it's always the motherfuckers who love to bitch about a seat reclining are all a bunch of 5'6" sad motherfuckers who you'd fit in a plane in any size because you're a little man. Like, dude, I need to recline sometimes because I'm so big. And if the person reclines in front of me, it sucks. But if I recline, it doesn't suck because you adjust for it. Like, I didn't, for my whole life, I recline. And then, like, people start just be like, oh, you're a recliner on planes, bro. You're like one of the worst people. You're as bad as people who, like, stand up and run to the flight of the plane. Like, that's fucked. And I heard all these people on podcasts talking about how much they hate it. And I'm just like, bro, why? If it's a part, if all three seats can recline, why can I not recline? Why is that an asshole move?
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Okay,
so I usually just don't recline, just because I'm like afraid of like I'm like there's because it's just like there which button is mine. I'm like, I'm afraid if I push the wrong button, then the person next to me like goes backwards. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
that's hilarious. That's your reason why.
Yeah, like, it's just I've also never just like not been comfortable. But then I texted you. I was like, yo, these seats are kind of stiff. I was like, yo, most of the time I'm able to just like fall asleep sitting up. But these, I was like, yo, this is like a rock hard.
Yeah.
Chair. I was this is American Airlines. We paid extra for this to not be Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was low key was. That was an old ass plane.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, I don't understand why it's a big thing, but now it sucks too because you're like, there's this like culture that is like agreed upon by a lot of people that it's like, oh, he leaned his seat back. You have free reign to make sure you fuck his seat up. Like, I heard, I heard people all the time on podcasts telling stories like, yeah, dude, the guy in front of me, like, leaned his seat back into my lap, so I made sure to fucking knee it the whole time and slam my tray table. I'm like, you're an asshole. Why can't I lean back?
It's, well, that's what's funny is that you're not even really leaning back that far. It's like, it's it, what, 2 inches? It's,
yeah, but, and the seat kind of moves forward, so all it does is, like, move, like, the, like, wall that's in front of you slightly closer. And, hey, if you lean back, guess what? Now the wall's the same distance it was before. But you want to sit here on your fucking high horse because you're 5'4" and you cannot lean back on a plane.
Well, that's why Spirit Airlines is the best. You can't recline. Their chairs don't move.
Yeah, yeah. Their recline is like the seat, like, lower slightly. Like, that's all it does.
Dude.
Spirit's dog shit, dude.
Anyway, so, back to Harrisburg. I feel like we're forgetting something.
I mean, the night out was fun. Those guys thought I was wearing a wire, which was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
So I was, you know, fiending for some marijuana. And I was like, I just felt weird, like, hey, mistering people. Because it just is like, we're in a town and I don't really know, like, how chill people are about it. I don't want to, like, go up and ask, like, an off-duty cop and get fucking arrested.
Harrisburg was also low-key kind of ghetto.
Kind of ghetto.
It was the downtown area we were in, dude, like, walking around, it was like, dude, it was like cutscenes from, like, GTA. Like, dude, it was literally, like, you know, people in, like, low riders just sitting in front of bars blasting music. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was not, like, a nice area, so I was like, I'm sure I can find weed. You can find weed in most downtown areas, but I just finally had to, like, we're really, like,
I've never really thought about, like, I thought, I mean, people carry, like, coke on them, but I was like, I was like, in my head, I was like, you're not going to just find a guy with nugs on him just walking around.
That's, I mean, I'm a stoner and I don't ever carry, like, a lot of weed on me, but sometimes I didn't want a lot. So my thought was, like, maybe I catch a guy with, like, 5 or 6 grams in him and I can just get, like, a gram or two from him. Like, cause he's just like, oh, I can make $20. I wasn't going to, I have more weed at my house anyway. Who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, went outside the bar and I was like, fuck, dude. Cause I was, like, drunk and I wanted to, like, smoke when I get back and, like, relax. And I was like, damn, I really want some. I'm going to just go ask people. And I was like, all right, I guess I have to just kind of, like, profile people. Just be like, who do I think looks like they sell drugs, which can be, like, a dangerous game. So I was just like, all right. And I mean, I guessed right on the first try. So
your first try?
The first try. The first dude's walking by, I'm just like, this guy looks like he sells weed. And I'm like, hey, bro, you got any green on you? And he, like,
just like that. You said it just like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I was like, hey, bro, you got any green on you? Are you trying to sell? Like, trying to be, like, low-key, use words, not be, like, too aggressive. And he kind of stops and he looks at me. I can tell he's, like, hesitant because I'm a white dude, but I can also tell that he's like, well, fucking look at this guy. He, you know, like, I look like a hippie. And he's kind of like, you trying to get green? And then his friend just grabs my collar of my shirt. And he's, like, as big as me. And he's just like, hey, bro, you wearing a fucking wire, dog? You wearing a fucking wire?
Even if you were, what were they to do? Kill a cop?
Yeah,
like
on the main street. I mean, it was. I instantly.
What was his plan?
Well, instantly, I was just like, "Bro, this is just like fake tough guy shit."
Yeah,
but I'm like, these guys also seem like out of their mind on drugs, so I'm like not about to just like pick a fight with someone,
right?
So I'm just kind of like, oh, man, I'm not wearing a wire. Chill out, man. Like, I promise. I'm like, do I look like I would wear a wire? And then he's just like, oh no, man. How do I know you ain't wearing a wire? And then I was drunk and I was like, this guy's being a cunt. So I'm just gonna be like, he's a black dude. They don't like when you say gay shit. I'm just gonna say gay shit to him because he like can't get too offended by it, you know? So I was just like, hey, bro, I can strip down naked and you can check my whole body for a wire. And he was just like, hey, chill out, chill out, chill out. And like, it made his friend laugh. And it like, because his friend was kind of like, he's like, chill out, bro. He's like, how much do you want? And I was like, and then he's like, still kind of like, now he's like, calm down at this point. And then he's like, now he's like, just kind of still like, now he's like trying to like buddy grab me on the shoulder, you know? And he's like, bro, you want pills? I got pills. And that's when I was like, oh, this guy's off pills. Because he was just like mouth open, like kind of like staring down at me, like through his forehead, like through his brow. And I was like, oh, this guy's on pills. And he just keeps going like, come on, bro, I'll give you a deal. And he's just like throwing deals at me. And I'm like, dude, no, I don't do pills. I don't want pills. And then the guy is just like, I'll give you 50 for an eighth, which is a fucking horrible deal. Like,
really?
A horrible deal. But I was like, 35 for an eighth is a great deal. I'm out of town, so I'm probably going to pay 40 to 45. And then I was like, I will pay the $5 more just to not have this guy try to fight me right now. Like, these guys are too aggressive. Yeah. I'm not getting in a fight against four dudes for, like, because he's like two dudes just standing behind him. And I'm like, these guys are going to beat the shit out of me and my little tiny Asian homie. Like, they're going to beat the fuck out of us.
Where was I?
You were in the bar finishing a drink. You were like, I got to finish this drink. And I was like, I'm going to go bother people.
Okay.
And then I
got, because the Laker game was on. I was watching the game.
You watching the end, yeah. And so then the guy just fucking put it in my pocket. I gave him $50, and then they walked away. And then, like, he was like, because then I was like, oh, I know how to calm him down. As I was just like, I'm the comedian in town this week. I'm one of the comedians. And then they were like, oh, okay, you're in here for the weekend. He's like, give me your number. And he's like, I'll get you more if you need it. And I was like, oh, no, maybe I'll need more. Sure. So I just took the guy's number, and he, like, called himself. And then, dude, like, 2 hours later, me and Daniel were in our room, and the guy just started calling me a bunch. And so I just blocked his number because I got scared. I was like, block, block, block. And so, yeah, dude, hopefully he doesn't hear this and come kill us.
Because I got scared.
I got scared, dude. I realized I was not hood.
You should have answered it just to see what he wanted.
I don't know. He also left me like a 2-minute voicemail, and I listened to that, and it was just like pocket jumbo. So I think he might have just been accidentally over and over again. But
that's so funny, though.
Yeah, it made me. It was kind of a moment where I was like, "Damn, dude!" Because like, what? Like, I had edibles that I had brought, you know, because I do. They just look like candy, so I just put them in other candy and brought them to TSA. Like, no big deal. And I was like, I got home and I was like, "All right, man. Like, you technically had weed. Like, if I really was like, I need to get high, I could have just eaten edibles."
Yeah.
It's not the same as smoking, you know?
Right.
But I was just like, all right, man, you know, man, like, you need to, like, learn, you need to smoke less, because if you can't control your addiction to not have a guy almost kill you over weed, dude, that's not good, you know?
Weed. Like, dude, that would have been so funny. Like, it wouldn't have been funny, but it would have been so funny if I had, like, just, like, stumbled out of the bar just drunk, you know, as fuck. And I'm like, all right, time to order the Lyft. I wonder where Brandon is. And then it's just like, you're like on the ground, like Uncle Ben.
Yeah, you just hear, you're in the bar like paying, and you're just like, pop, pop, pop. And you hear like some screams. You're like, what? And they're like, someone's like, oh shit, gunshots outside. And then you're, you know, you'd be like, I got to run towards them. I got to know what's going on. And you walk out, and I'm just on the ground like, oh, Galen, come closer. I have to tell you something before I die. And then I'd bleed out on the thing.
That would have been like literally some Uncle Ben shit. Yeah. I would have been like, yo.
Yeah. You just lean down into my ear and you're like, can I have your dick size joke, please?
I wouldn't ask permission.
I just take
it's
it.
It's mine. And I would do it at the end of my set and be like, in memoriam. I told that to Tom too. I was like, if Tom ever like killed himself, I would take like 5 minutes of his jokes and like at the end just be like, these were my friends. He passed away.
Yeah.
And then just like, if I ever did like a special, just cut that part out. You could edit that out, right?
Or just start doing them. And then if they're doing bad, just be like, these last two jokes, I don't want to say it. Like, my comic buddy tragically passed away. And as he was dying, he asked me to please keep his jokes in honor. So I just want to keep doing them. And then like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you save his two best for the end. And then you just fucking smash at the end of your set with his jokes. And if it goes well, you don't say anything.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. I'm Galen Nash. Have a good night. You just leave. I wrote all these jokes by myself.
No, I literally would just like give a quick point to the sky or to the floor.
Yeah, to the floor. Yeah.
And then move on. It was very funny with you were saying something with misunderstanding what someone said. I totally forgot what it was, but it reminded me. I literally texted Mikey, and I was like, yo, let's go see Nicki Minaj in May at the Moody Center. And he said, no way. And I was like, no way, like, no way she's coming? Or like, no way, like, no chance you want to go. And they just didn't respond. I was like, well, fuck you then. I was like, obviously, you don't want to go.
Does not want to go at all.
He was like, no way. And I was like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, no way she's coming?
Fuck, dude, yeah.
Oh, the other thing with Sean Dickensheets, it was very funny that that like, so there was like a table of five during the first show that like he walked over to and like they said hi to him or something, and so then I'm sitting there, and then there's like this older woman like at the end, and I don't even remember what I was gonna say, but I was gonna like just make fun of her or something, and then I was like, yo, you know that girl in the jean jacket? And then, oh, by the way, Sean is like 30.
Yeah,
and he has no gray hair, like, and this is like an older woman with like gray hair, and he goes, "Oh yeah, that's my girlfriend," and I was like, "What?" I had to like take a double take, and then I like looked, and there just was no like young chicks at the table, and he goes, "The one in the jean jacket," and I was like, "Yeah, at the end of the table," and he goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, that's my girlfriend," and I looked, And then I looked back at him, and then I looked again, because I thought, because the first time that I came to Harrisburg, bro, the host, his name was Dom, and he like,
shout out Dom.
Shout out Dom. Also, and then we found out, bro, this is so funny. This is so funny. So Sean was telling us that, I'll tell that in a sec, but to finish off, like, dude, so this Sean guy, who's cool as fuck and funny, he's dating this woman who's 62 or something. And
yeah,
he
said she was 59 and 59. He's
30. He's 30, she's 59, and then her son was there who's his age.
Yeah, because I was like, we were like obviously being like very respectful, and then he was like, we're like, who's that? Like, is that your friend? And he was like, that's her son. And then I was like, did you and her son go to high school together? Like, how did you know each other? And I was like, I have to throw like one little wisecrack in there, because I was like, oh, all right, that is... And then he was even like, he's like, yeah, I know it's weird. And we were like, nah, dude, like, it's cool. Like, it's weird. And like, it caught us off guard, because we were just like, if you were like, who do you think those people are in relationship to him? You would have been like, oh, like,
that's his mom.
His mom. Or, and then like, there was the old lady who dapped me up and said she fucks was his girlfriend's friend.
Really?
Yeah. And I told him that, and he was like, she's crazy. And so I was like, okay. And then, So like, it was just, there was no, like, girlfriend was not on like the bingo board for that section. And so we were both like, oh, yeah, like, that's, I don't care. That's cool. I'm not going to judge you.
Yeah.
But it was like, he was like, yeah, that was weird. And I was like, it was weird in that, like, it was none of our first guesses by any means.
First, second, or third.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was so funny, because I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to not say what I was going to say. Yeah. I was like, and then, yes. But so, like, then, so he, Sean, is tapping older women, right? Mm-hmm. The first weekend I did in Harrisburg a couple years ago, the host, his name was Dom. Oh, this is what was funny, is so this guy who's like clearly brand new into comedy, I was like, this is what I mean by Sean was such a great host. I was like, usually I just get like fucked with like the host that they give me. It's usually an old person, someone doesn't show up, or it's like some guy doing his first sets ever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, how's this guy in the rotation? Turns out this guy had won some roast battle competition, and so then they... we're like, oh, your prize is getting to host a weekend at the Comedy Zone here in Harrisburg. And they're like, which weekend should we give this guy? Oh, nobody knows this Galen guy. He could host for him.
Yeah.
And then I just assumed that's what the thing was. And so then he was the host, right? And so then on the Saturday show, dude, like 15 local comedians showed up. And I was like, man, that's so cool that this community has like a sense of community and they're here to like support this guy. Bro, turns out, so like Sean's talking to us and he's like, oh yeah, bro, like that guy, everybody just showed up because they wanted to see like how bad he did. And I was like, oh God. I was like, oh, what the fuck? Here I just thought that here's what's funny, maybe I suffer a little bit from main character syndrome. I thought that these people like showed up a little bit, like some of them showed up to just be like, oh, you know, let's go hang out at the Saturday Late Show, network a little bit, you know, hang out with Galen and Mike, you know, make a new connection, something like that with, you know, this guy who's touring. No, they literally just showed up to get drunk and watch this guy that they don't like bomb. Like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, which maybe even speaks higher to the level of camaraderie in that scene. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, they're really supportive. They are such homies that they're like, fuck, we gotta all go watch this guy eat shit. That's awesome. That's great.
And then yeah, we were drinking with them after and stuff, but it is very funny that Sean told me that. I was like, well, now that makes sense.
Yeah, we would have done that back in Orange County.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well,
you gotta, so like,
if they gave Lee Lynn a weekend at the Improv.
Oh yeah.
Be like, bro, we gotta see this.
So you gotta tell him what the, you didn't finish telling him what said, because then I know how you're gonna tie it back in to when
And so then me and Mike are playing pool at the place afterwards, and we're like, man, this isn't really the vibe, because there's people from the show just like staring at us, which was also happening after these shows. Me and Sean were playing pool, and there's just a lot of people just staring at us, and I was like, you know, this is cool if they like, you know, if people like come over and want to play with us, that's awesome, or if they want to come talk to us, that's cool. But it's like every time I look over, it's just like you guys are staring at me. I'm like, all right, man, like come say something or something, you know what I mean? Give me a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Or something. Because they had already walked into the show and been like, you guys were awesome. And I was like, oh, thanks. You know, that means a lot. And then, but now you're just staring. It's like, you guys are also like in your 50s. You know, like you guys know how to communicate. There's no way you guys are like, you guys are too old to be like intimidated by my presence. You know what I mean? Like you can say something.
Yeah.
And so then fast forward to a couple years ago, me and Mike are playing pool. And this guy, the guy who's hosting, comes up to us, and I was like, hey, man, like, where should we go if we want to get out of here? Like, where's the place to drink? Where's the after-hour spot? And he's like, well, And with dead serious, this guy goes, well, if you're trying to fuck an underage girl, you guys should go to Sawyer's. And me and Mike were both like, we literally just like, what? And he was like, yeah, man, they don't even like card there. I was like, are you serious? Like, are you like, what? And he goes, all right, well, I guess we won't go there. And then, of course, we ended up there on accident because we fucking we drove downtown.
There's also not a lot of like bars in that downtown area.
There's like five.
Yeah.
Five pretty cool ones, though. Like they each had their own aesthetic, which was cool. It's not like five of the same bar like Austin has.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were down there and this beautiful girl walks by us who's like clearly like 25. And she asked for like a cigarette or a lighter or something. No, yeah, she asked for a lighter and Mike had a lighter. And so she's like lighting a cigarette. And I was like, hey, you know. If I were like, where are you going? Like, we're not from here. We're trying to figure out where to go. And she goes, well, I'm going to Sawyer's. And we're like, oh, and we go, why? And we heard, I literally was like, oh, I heard that's like the pedo bar. And she goes, what? Well, there are some underage girls there, but it's like the only poppin' bar in town. And I was like, oh, well, why didn't that guy just lead with that?
Yeah.
That there'd be the only place with people. And so of course we go. And of course there were like fucking bro, me and Mike were there. We had like one drink and they hand stamp you when you walk in. We had like one drink and we're like, yo, this like, there's like 17 year olds here. And we were like, this is like, I get this is the only place with people. These aren't the people
like, that we want to hang out
with. Yeah, I was like, I don't care if this is the only place. I'd rather go drink by myself somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so then we left, drank somewhere else. Anyway, so then this guy that hosts Sean, he's banging a lady that's double his age. The Dom dude's banging chicks half his age. And I don't, allegedly, like, I don't know. I don't think he ever fucked. I think he was just trying to be funny. But we were just like, okay, dude.
Cool.
Yeah, but then when we gave him the opportunity to be like, haha, just kidding, he totally just didn't take it. And we're like, oh,
yeah,
there's a good chance you're serious. And so then we're downtown drinking, and I was like, yo, we got to go to Sawyer's. Now that we're here, we're like, we got to go. Totally closed down, abandoned.
Yeah, shut, like, been shut down for a minute. You know, like, it wasn't just closed for a renovation or something. No. Went the fuck out of business.
Yeah.
Definitely got caught up or ran up on or something.
Something, yeah. They got popped.
Yeah, 100%.
They got popped. But let's go for three more minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was kind of bummed. I took a picture of it and sent it to Mike, and I was like, oh, no. And he was like, what do you mean, oh, no? And I was like, I wanted to, like, you know, for old time's sake. You know, just like, when in Rome,
yeah,
you know, you go to Sawyer's, man. But it's also so funny because it's like, I was talking to, like, I ran into Shane Gillis at Sidebar, and we were talking about the Harrisburg Comedy Zone and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he got, like, distracted by a hot piece of ass before I could be, like, tell him about the Sawyer's thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has to know about Sawyer's. Has to.
Maybe, I mean, but also it could have just been like
a newer place,
like
that popped
a flash
up.
In a pan type place. Because it sounds like it's one of those, like, we had them in our college town where it was like these bars that it was like 18-year-olds could go in, but they have to get a hand stamp. And so then, like, because 18-year-olds can go in, like 16 and 17-year-olds would then get like fake IDs to be like 18 or 19 to go in and then have their friends buy them drinks. So it's like, I assume it's one of those places. I don't know how long it was, but.
Yeah. It seemed new. It was actually the actual bar. If you erased all of the people from being there, was pretty cool. It was like, dude, there was an upstairs with like fire pits on top of the bar with a second bar up top. And there was this dope ass staircase that takes you down to like this big open area dance floor. There's a DJ in the corner bumping for the whole place. It was a massive complex. It was like, actually, if you eliminate all the underage girls, all the people, and if it was just like just you and me partying there, like we rented the place out, it was pretty sick.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of the bars were cool down there. They had a lot of like 2-3 story bars that were fucking sick.
Yeah, we ended up in like this VIP lounge, and that's when your buddy started like feeling like shit or something. I was like, dang, I could stay up here for another hour.
I was starting to get fucking tired too. Like, yeah, just the not sleeping and the sitting there. And it was like kind of quiet. Like, there was like Invincible was on the TV. Like, and we were watching like TV and shit. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm getting fucking sleepy here. I need it to be louder in here or to like get up or I might fucking KO for the night.
We were taking what? Girl Scout cookie shots?
Yeah, they're actually really good. I mean, we just took a bunch of shots. Like, we did like. That I bought like whiskey shots at one point.
Yeah,
like we did beers. We played. There was that sick ass bar where we were playing Connect Four outside, and then it had like a view of the Capitol building and stuff.
Yeah,
which was dope. So we got to see the Capitol, which was cool.
Yeah, the whole weekend was fire, from the crowds to the people to the drinks. Oh, I want to shout out my server. Her name was Alicia, I believe. Had to be Alicia.
Yeah, she just did the Super Bowl halftime show.
Played keys, yeah.
Piano.
She was great. I tipped her so heavy. And dude, she was like not even like she would leave the restaurant, come into the comedy club, just like bring me drinks.
Yeah, you would
she's
like
my
yeah.
personal server.
Yeah, one time we were on stage, she came up and she was like, "Do you think he's okay on drinks?" And I was like, "How the fuck would I know? He's on stage right now." Obviously, I didn't say that to her. I just was like, "Yeah, I think he's fine." But I was like, "What do you think? We have telepathy? Like, I'm just gonna be like, yeah, he wants one in 10 minutes. He just told me he wants you to bring him up one in 10 minutes."
That would have been so funny. If she had walked up like a drink, I would have fucking given her the biggest shout out.
You should have dipped her and kissed her like a World War II soldier leaving away. You know what I mean? To go off the battle.
All right. I mean, she was. Here's the thing, though. Like, she wasn't attractive, yeah. right? But then, like, throughout the whole weekend of her serving me and stuff, and then, like, talking to her a bit.
It's a horrible statement.
What?
Just what you're saying?
No, I was just saying that, like, she became, like, fuckable.
Yeah, once she started doing things for you and providing a service, she became attractive to you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I'm being honest. That's what every woman grows up wanting to hear, you know? So they really want to grow up and you know, she's going to clip this moment, send it to all her friends.
Tell you what, she was the hottest one there. Sven, the owner, if you're listening right now, pal.
I kind of liked the little Indian lady that was running the front of the thing. She
you
was
mean
like
his wife?
That's his wife?
Yes.
That's hilarious. She's pretty well. Yeah, shout out you then, Sven. Yeah.
Shout out you.
My bad, dog. That, yeah, I was like she's really pretty.
I don't have a comment on
yeah.
the owner's wife.
Yeah,
you piece of shit.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. All right.
Respectfully. Yeah,
right, I don't think he'll be mad at you saying that his wife's a catch.
Yeah.
But I'm like, "Yo, Sven, when people start applying, my boy, you got to include some headshots. Link to their Instagram so you can
like a Hooters.
Yeah, turn this place into Hooters. Exactly. Exactly.
Find them. You gained 5 pounds this week. Looks like you're getting paid $1 less an hour, honey."
Their pay rate is fluid.
Yeah. I don't make the rules. If you maybe did some sit-ups, we could pay you $2 extra an hour. But someone likes croissants instead. Ooh.
Is there anything you want to tag on about the weekend? I think we just covered it.
We just covered it. It was a fast weekend, but it was a good weekend. Like, it was great. It was very fun, very fast. It sucks because I was like, damn, I wish like we flew back so early to make it to the Super Bowl. So we could get back to Austin and watch the Super Bowl and relax, which was totally worth it. But it would have been sick if we had like an 11 a.m. flight or like a noon flight or something like that. Because then like after the second show, we would have just drank at Boomerangs and like hung out there.
Yeah.
And like gotten fucked up and made a night out of it. But yeah. Other than that, it was like, dude, it was great. Fun time. Good crowds. Good opener. Great. The hotel was nice. The people, the owner of the club, the hotel, everyone was just like super fucking nice to us.
Everybody was great. Everybody was great. I have no complaints. I actually have no complaints for the first time. Yeah. Not for the first time. I mean, I don't have any complaints about Fort Walton Beach, except for the hostess didn't show up. So I guess I did have a complaint.
Yeah, it's not on them. It just is like, the weekend went pretty smoothly. Like, our flights weren't delayed. They got early. We were on time. We were never rushed. There was really no.
I didn't lose anything.
Yeah,
I got 3 great tapes. Yeah, I'm gonna be. Also, that was a huge perk about me, like not having a panic attack, but starting to like lose focus in the middle of my set. Is that I took my hoodie off, and so for half that tape, I'm just rocking a t-shirt and a chain, so it looks like it's like, oh cool, I'm not wearing the same thing in all these clips.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah. Doesn't just look like you was like, oh, someone had one good weekend, when you're like, there's just a bunch of clips from one like background
or
room.
I've been thinking about that. So I'm going to be like,
when
I'm pumping out clips, I'm going to start stack. Like, I'm going to put one out from Creek and then one out from the last tour and then all this stuff. Cause I have all these clips and stuff and I'm finally going to start pumping them out. But I was like, I literally pumped one out yesterday and it flopped. I was like, only 2,000 views. I was like, really?
Yeah, it sucks ass.
I know. I was like, dude, cool. I feel like a chump. Cool. I was like, I'm just a slave to the algorithm.
Yeah.
It did good on TikTok, though. I was like, God damn it. TikTok, the one I was like, I don't really give a shit about.
Yeah, I have like 7,000 followers on TikTok, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Well, it doesn't translate.
Yeah, I need to get to 10,000 because then you can like go live. Like then I could just be like, we're going live. I'm playing Madden with my buddy Galen and put like a camera on us, a camera on Madden. Then people can like watch and tip and you get paid like for viewer percentage and stuff.
Oh,
like
really?
That. Like, and then lives just appear on feeds and stuff. But it's like, obviously, like I have to get like 3,000 more.
That's not that bad. That's like one clip popping off.
Yeah, and I'm doing new clips every Monday, new stand-up.
You're putting them on TikTok too?
Yeah, doing them on TikTok. Oh, nice. Yeah, one did all right, one did whatever. But I'm just starting to put them on there. And then I put all my podcast clips on there too.
You're going to be pumping clips from this weekend?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I backlogged like 6 or 7 clips on the, because I was like, it's unrealistic to think you can get a clip every week. Even though I'm still doing like 8 or 9 spots, unless I'm putting out like material clips, you're not going to always just get like crazy crowd work moments that are worth actually posting.
I think I'm gonna start pumping material clips, like old shit. Like I'm gonna put the next clip I pump out, I think it's gonna be the would you rather joke, just because that's already on my profile from like 5 years ago, from like the Irvine Improv, but it like not on Reels. So I'm like, oh, if I throw it on Reels, it's like, that's different.
Dude, I mean, if you really look at like the famous comedians, like Mark Norman's a big clip guy, like Sam Morrell, like if you look at their like TikToks or their Reels, like they'll put out the same joke like 5 different times, like cut different, zoomed in more, maybe just a chunk of it, then the whole thing, frame different, caption different. And obviously it's not like every week, but it'll be like, if you look, you're like, oh, they did it like 3 weeks ago and then like 4 weeks before that and then like 2 weeks before that.
It's like the same joke?
Yeah, it's the same joke because it's just like, yeah, sure, your followers are going to see it, but like they're getting so many other new clips, they're not going to care. It's so staggered out. They're going to be like, oh, shit, yeah, this joke, oh, it's so funny. And then it's like maybe it didn't go mad viral, then it does the second time. Or like maybe it this way it's framed, it goes viral, now a whole new crop seeing it. Or it's, you know what I mean? Like how many times have you seen like a Bill Burr joke or a Tom Segura bit or like or a Daniel Tosh clip or a CK or a Chappelle that recircles that? It's like this one is just like, Kill Tony Vids post this, and then it's like funny haha clips posted this, and then you see it a bunch. It's just it's different versions of it. So that like it's not I think it just is like as much as you can, no one's mad. They both posted clips from us that we did then that exact joke this weekend. They used that to promote, and those jokes did great, and no one was like, I saw that on it. No one gives a fuck. No one cares. You know? I don't think it matters. Just content and slave to the algorithm.
Well, an amazing weekend, an amazing podcast. Thanks for doing both the weekend and the podcast.
No, dude, thanks for having me on both. Love doing both. Good fucking times. Good times.
I leave the final minute of the podcast to the guests to say whatever, plug whatever, any final parting words of wisdom in case you might die on the way home. This next minute is all you, Brandon Lejeune.
Yeah, if I die on the way home, remember to not ask strangers for weed. It's just a bad idea. Don't profile people. It's wrong. But other than that, follow me on Instagram, Brandon Lejeune _ Lejeune is legend, _. And if you're in Austin area, if you're one of Galen's listeners in the Austin area, every Wednesday, Rocky's Piano Bar, every Thursday, Creek Cave, live at 10 p.m. at Creek in the Cave. And then on the 23rd of February, we have Underground Comedy at the Black Rabbit. You can check out that. So.
Sweet. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Of course.